Hey guys, are you looking for a sports book that you can trust? Well, look no further than mybookie.ag, where you can get a 50% match on your initial deposit of up to $1,000 when you use promo code DFSArmy. As a bonus, when you use promo code DFSArmy, you also get a free month of DFSArmy VIP and DFSArmy Beat the Bookie membership. That's a $100 combined value. So we'll help you with your daily fantasy sports, and we'll help you with your handicapping free when you sign up for mybookie.ag using promo code DFSArmy.
In 2015, an elite DFS Army commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Bold Calls Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Kevin Allen. I am your host. I've got my man season-long Cez on the line with me, and this podcast is, as always, sponsored by DFSArmy.com. And here we go. Today's pod, we've already broken down the early season wide receiver and running back positions, and now we're up to the quarterback position. So, Allen, how you feeling, my man season-long Cez?
Oh, man, I feel good. I can't believe that we are getting right now into the peak part of best ball season. July 4th seems to be the kickoff weekend for all of fantasy football. Right now, as we stand today on the 22nd of June, we're already doing all the work we've been doing since early on a few months ago. I'm ready to roll here and to talk about those QBs.
You know, it's funny, Cez, I was working on my QB rankings for the DFS Army draft kit, which we're all working on at the moment with rankings and notes and player picks and all that good stuff. And I was working on my quarterback position, and man, I got to tell you, I got about five quarterbacks in, and, you know, things just kind of get hairy. It's really, really difficult to rank some of these guys because there's not a whole lot of difference, I would say, here, even between, you know, maybe what might be number six and what you might think of as number 15. It's a really interesting situation, and I'm very curious to go over this with you and to kind of get your take and talk about some tiers and everything, and then try to figure out what's going on.
You hit on something important with the quarterback. I mean, everybody knows since you started playing fantasy football, you wait on quarterback. I mean, that's pretty much common play at this point.
You know,
one quarterback.
Let's be clear on that. Yeah, let's explain that real quick. The idea that everybody knows something, I think, is a bit.
All right. Well, then back up for 1 second. Is that the fact that in leagues where you only need to start one quarterback, there is such depth at the position with such little variance between the elite tier and, say, the fourth or fifth tier, that the opportunity cost of taking a quarterback in the first five rounds usually does not outweigh what it will cost you to wait until later on. Specifically, if we're just throwing out, you know, just ADP names, like, for example, Andrew Luck is usually the second or the third quarterback off the board. To go ahead and take him in round five or four, where you would probably need to take him, and it costs you a running back or a receiver that you would not be able to get in the later rounds. But as you get into the double-digit rounds, you can certainly get a quarterback that is comparable that'll keep you afloat week to week.
Scarcity of position is what you're referring to there. And it's really, really
you and your fancy terms.
That's right. I'm going to use the appropriate terminology because it's very descriptive. Certain positions have a lot of scarcity to them. And first that comes to mind is the running back position in the NFL. Why? There are only 32 teams. Of those 32 teams, maybe 24 to 26 of them have kind of established number one backs, and other ones kind of have, you know, really nothing that you're getting too excited about at the running back position. Every fantasy team has the opportunity to generally hold two or three running backs on their roster. And if you're in a 12-person league, That means 36 running backs potentially across all of the teams can be started, but there's only, you know, 22 to 24 viable ones in the NFL. So there is an issue with a lack of running backs compared to how many roster positions are available for the running back position on a standard fantasy league. So one of the things that people figured out early in the game or at some point along the way, this was like the cheat code for fantasy football for a lot of years before sort of the explosion of informational resources came out. The cheat code was wait on your quarterback. Let the sucker take Aaron Rodgers in the first round. Let some idiot take Peyton Manning in the second round. Why? Because in the 8th, in the 12th, or in the 9th round, you can get someone who's just fine, but you can't find a serviceable wide receiver there or a serviceable running back there. So scarcity of position became very, very key for the quarterback position, being that there is no issue of scarcity, generally, at the quarterback position until we get to two QB leagues where...
Well, which is why we advocate turning your home league into a super flex or two QB league, because the time has come in fantasy football. And again, I really think that a lot of your subscribers, because, you know, people are way more savvy in fantasy football. There's so much information out there. I feel like the majority of them have figured that part out. And I think you did a great job of explaining it to somebody who might be new to fantasy football. But at the same time, the time has come to really start promoting, and, you know, our leagues have been doing it for a few years now, having two QBs in your starting position. So
absolutely. And honestly, Cez, you know, I've known you for a long time. We play in leagues together. And one thing I will say is you have been on the forefront of sort of rule changes. And we'll actually do a podcast coming up about cool rule changes you can do as commissioner of your, you know, your local league, your league with your friends. But you've really been on the forefront of some of that. And I totally agree. Once the word got out that, you know, scarcity of position is a significant thing at the quarterback position, there is no scarcity, and therefore, you know, it kind of devalues the position massively in your fantasy draft in single quarterback leagues, you know, that was time to switch over and go to the super flex.
Right. Like say, for example, like in your home league one QB draft, you draft Matt Ryan, and then on the back end, you draft a backup. You have Dak Prescott. And you'll see by our rankings later, I'm higher on Dak Prescott than the market. Now, let's say Dak is having like an all-time insane season, and Matt Ryan's doing what he normally does. There's almost no chance to cash out one of those assets, because nobody's in your 12-team league with one QB is going to even need a quarterback, because they're okay starting Phillip Rivers every week. They're not going to give you a running back or a high-end wide receiver. Whereas if you did have the ability to start two QBs, those guys would be gold. You'd be able to cash out on one of those guys for probably, you know, even someone as like a first-round running back. So, but we can get into that, like you said, when we do our rules pod. I don't want to stray too far away from our QB rankings. And for today's purpose also, we are talking about one quarterback leagues, right? Because my rankings do change a little bit when you talk about two QB leagues.
Yeah, and we'll talk about why that is, by the way. I think that's important to point out why they change. And just getting back to your point, yes, if you needed evidence of the devaluation of the QB position, look at your season-long leagues and look at the last time somebody, you know, traded a good player for a quarterback. Like, it's just not generally going to happen in a single QB league because, you know, hanging out on the waivers, you've got names that aren't that bad. You know?
Right.
You
mentioned, And part of the rules pod that we do, it's also we're going to talk about how to change. You don't just come in and just blanket rule changes. Something that I wanted to talk to you about, and again, we'll flesh this out on another podcast. When you talk about QB rule changes, it's something that you have to introduce down the road. You can't just say, okay, we're doing this, you know, today. You know, you have to kind of gradually introduce little things. But that'll be an exciting podcast that will last for. It'll be an evergreen podcast that you can listen to at any time.
I love it. All right, so let's get right into the QB position 2019. I'm going to start with the current ADP. So the order that I'm going to say some of these names in is current ADP data coming from, you know, various sources of leagues that are being drafted right now. Obviously, it is currently June 21st. There aren't that many leagues being drafted, but there are six people are already drafting, not just best ball leagues, but real leagues right now.
Yeah,
best ball leagues is pretty active right now.
I think it's not even the sick and the crazy that are doing this anymore. I think this is becoming more and more mainstream. I talk to friends of mine that used to be knee deep in baseball at this point that have kind of put their baseball team to the side to to draft football. So I think that I've witnessed it with my own eyes, people paying more attention to football this time of year. Now, just before you do this, you're just going to read a list of ADP. I think a lot of our listeners can go and like pull that up. I'd like to hear like where your rankings are and how they differ from the ADP. I'm sure that's where you were going, though.
Yeah, I hadn't gotten to that yet. So I was going to say, I'm going to kind of throw these names out there, and then we'll start to kind of talk about the differences between some of these ADPs and where we might be on some of these players. So because my likes, as you've seen a little bit of my list, I'm not fully vetted on my QB rankings yet. It's kind of why one of the reasons why I had this pod and talk to you a little bit about some of these situations. But you'll see on my list, I'm very different from ADP in terms of where I'm ranking some of these players. So
all right. Well, who's your top five? Well, you know what? Just read me down your top 10. Like, who are your top 10 QBs in order?
I'll just start with my top five, and it does not differ significantly from current ADP. So that's the easy top five. Patrick Mahomes for me is the number one QB on the board. I can't see any argument against him.
If Tyreek Hill was announced today that he was out for the entire year, would that change your ranking of Mahomes?
No, not at all.
Okay. No. So nothing to see here. Move on.
Nothing to see here. And in terms of tiers, I have Mahomes ranked in his own standalone tier. I don't have him tiered with what people would think is that first tier of Aaron Rodgers and Andrew Luck together with Mahomes. I have Mahomes tiered solo by himself with Rodgers and Luck, the next two, as their own separate tier two.
If you're a wait on QB guy in one QB leagues, where are you taking him? Like, what? I know that there's exceptions to wait on QB. I mean, if you're in the late fourth round, if you're picked 4.10 and Mahomes is there, are you taking him?
I'm thinking about it, but I'd have a hard time taking any QB, even a tier one, before round six.
Okay, so 5.2, you're not taking him then?
I would have to see who's available at that moment. I might be tempted.
No QBs are taken. The receivers on the board are like the Calvin Ridley types of the world. The running backs are like the James White sort of tier.
Yeah, I would be tempted to take a Pat Mahomes there. Yes.
Okay. All right. So the point is that the wait on QB sort of guide the rule. There are exceptions to the rule.
Oh, no question. To say that we are waiting on QB because Mahomes is going in the second round. So it's about waiting on QB in a relative sense. I'd rather not. I generally would rather let somebody else take these players up top. But if we've gotten away from the stud tiers of position players, there's no more stud tight ends left. You know, the big three are gone. The running back tier has gotten to the flex levels. And now the wide receiver tier, we're looking at the WR 2.5 types and below. Then yeah, I'll grab a stud quarterback at that point. Mahomes, Rodgers, or Luck would be of interest at those moments.
All right, so you have Mahomes in tier one. Who's your second tier?
Tier two for me is a two player tier of Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers. I would put Rodgers ahead of Luck this season. You?
You keep going, and then I'll come back with all mine.
I have a third tier here set up where it's sort of a tier that I'm probably rarely going to wind up with any of these guys because they're all kind of players that will go ahead of where I will take a quarterback of this type. But next up for me would be Mayfield, Deshaun Watson, and interesting, it's funny, I thought this was surprising, but Matt Ryan more so because Matt Ryan has the new offensive coordinator that did such great things with
It was his MVP. His MVP season was under this group.
Yeah, we should be able to. Plus, Matt Ryan was actually quietly very good, and that team does not run very much. So there's a lot of things about Matt Ryan, even though he's not a quarterback that uses his legs, that I don't mind.
Okay, I have it a drop differently. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, with or without Tyreek Hill, sure, he's my QB1. But I have my number two QB as Deshaun Watson. And the reason why is that, I mean, we got a glimpse in Deshaun Watson's rookie year of what the ceiling looks like. And the ceiling looks like a QB that we were even talking about. Are we taking this guy at the end of the first round after that? He got hurt. He had some offensive line problems. But all the receivers are healthy by all accounts. This is probably one of the best pass-catching groups as far as wide receivers in the NFL. I know the offensive line had some problems, but sometimes a shaky offensive line is good for the running QBs. And I think that Deshaun Watson is a very sneaky bet as a long shot to become the NFL MVP in year three. It just keeps getting better. So, sure, does Aaron Rodgers and Andrew Luck probably have a higher floor? Absolutely. But I think Deshaun Watson's ceiling is beyond what we, you know, we already saw the ceiling, so we know it's there. So I'm taking him probably at number two, depending, of course, where he falls. I've been reaching for him a little bit aggressively, but that's, you know, in best ball formats, where you have to take two QBs. Obviously, in two QB leagues, Superflex leagues, he's a first round pick. But in your typical one QB league, I have him as the second QB off the board for the reasons I just stated. Number three, I have Andrew Luck. He looks healthy by all accounts, but I've dinged him down below Deshaun Watson, mostly because the running wasn't there last year, and we might be seeing Andrew Luck transition into a QB that's being a little bit smarter and less reckless. He still probably will run, and you'll probably get you one or two rushing touchdowns, but I think the upside of him getting you six or seven like he did pre-injury, that may not be there anymore. And Aaron Rodgers, I mean, we saw the floor last year, which was still finishing as a top 10 QB where everything went wrong. I just have a weird feeling that it's going to take the Packers offense some time to get on track with the new coach. I do like all the weapons. And of course, you love Aaron Rodgers as an elite talent, but he's getting a little bit older. I don't trust him as much this year. Again, it's just a new system, new coach. By all accounts, they're still trying to reshape Aaron Rodgers and tell him what to do instead of just giving him the keys to the car like they did with Ben Roethlisberger, with Peyton Manning, and with all the other elite QBs. So, I again, these are all top options. So I have him as number four. Number five, like you, I have Baker Mayfield. Everything's lined up perfectly for Baker this year. You couldn't have asked. The influx of all those great weapons, including Odell Beckham, he looked the part. You're not going to get much rushing, but I think we can just have a monster season from Baker Mayfield. That's not breaking any news. So those are my top five. And then once you get into that 6 through 10 range, this is where the muck definitely starts. But I certainly have some guys I like above others in this tier.
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with you. I mean, hey, you're convincing me a little bit on Deshaun Watson. And even as we're talking now, I don't know about number two. I'm going to have a hard time putting him above Andrew Luck, because Andrew Luck just throws those tutties like a maniac, man. I mean, that team puts up points, and it's hard for me not to love it. Whereas Houston remains a little bit more defensive focused. So if I had to have the one differentiator, just more team wise and just more game total wise, I think the Colts as an offense will put up more points than the Houston offense will, if that makes sense, because the Houston's a little bit more defensive of a team.
When we get down to the, you know, the 3 to 4 yard line, I just think that the Colts are more apt to give it to Marlon Mack to pound it in. I think they're more likely to run, whereas when Houston gets inside the 5 yard line, all bets are off. I mean, Deshaun Watson could have 9 rushing touchdowns this year. And again, I think you're right by saying Andrew Luck is certainly the safer option, but Deshaun Watson's floor is high enough where we've actually seen the ceiling be even higher. So that's why I would take him ahead of Andrew Luck.
Yeah, man, I'm looking at the rushing numbers here, and you're right in that sense. I mean, 99 attempts, 551 yards last season for Deshaun Watson. Last season, which was not a special – yeah, it was not a special year for them. For him – I mean, to say a down year, it's his second year. I don't know what an up year and a down year is going to look like for Deshaun Watson when he's in his third year.
And here's the thing. Andrew Luck is routinely going off the board in the fifth round. Deshaun Watson is a full round and a half later. So what's great is you can pick up one more positional player, maybe grab the Evan Ingram type at tight end, and then get your Deshaun Watson. That's what makes it even more appealing. So when you look at your fifth and sixth round pick, you're like, would I rather have Andrew Luck and this sort of low-end wide receiver too, or would you rather have Deshaun Watson and a high-end tight end? I mean, that's kind of how you have to look at it.
And again, I'm going to throw this out there as a bold call. And part of this, the idea here is we're not trying to just mimic the ADP. These are bold calls. And quite honestly, you know, you've got Deshaun Watson ranked number 2 overall. The guy's coming in ranked number 4 currently in terms of ADP. So, yes, that is a bargain situation.
Right, and it's
you
not,
want to go
see,
after this guy, you can get him for cheap.
And it's to be noted that someone could say, oh, what's the difference between 2 and 4? Actually, it's a huge difference. And I know you understand this, but in the top of the rankings, a divergent from ADP is huge. As you get deeper, yes, the difference between QB10 and QB15, it's not that big of a deal. If you like, again, I use Dak Prescott over Jared Goff, it's no one's going to look at you sideways for taking him. But in the top of the rankings, ADP means a lot. So if you agree with Deshaun Watson, you may have to jump up and take him for all the reasons we stated. So this, the whole reason we started this Bull Call podcast is because we looked at industry consensus for a while and we're like, we just didn't get it. We didn't understand it. And we wanted to form our own sort of and voice our own opinions and put those on tape for your listeners to benefit from.
And to go back next year and check and see how we did. So there we go. But
they're going to do that?
Yeah,
oh, shit.
Yeah. But, you know, no one look up Kenyon Drake from last season, please, guys.
But I don't think you were – but first of all, you know you were actually right on Kenyon Drake. If you – you know, I did – after our last podcast, you were really kind of bummed out about your Kenyon Drake call. But it's – when he was on the field, he was the most – I think he was the first or second most efficient running back in the whole league. The problem was he only got 120 carries. I told you last time he would have these amazing games and then Adam Gase would bench him. They have a new coaching staff this year, and I don't want to go too far in running backs, but I meant to come back and tell you, all the efficiency stats and the big plays and everything we saw from Kenyon Drake was right. He just didn't get the snaps for some ungodly reason.
I took a gamble on a losing team with an old quarterback, with an old running back in Frank Gore, understanding – you know, that it makes no real sense to just, you know, ride the old horse out there. Might as well play their young guy and see what he's got. And they didn't do it. They were riding Frank Gore train. All right. My bad. You know?
Well, it was called this year. The price is right. And again, let's not get too far in the weeds here with running back, but Kenyon Drake's 4th round ADP. Are you back in?
Yeah, I like Kenyon Drake this year. I don't have too much exposure to him because there's a few other players. Well, I mean, we talked about that a little bit on the running back. I have not wound up with a ton of exposure to him because there are other running backs that I just keep going to in that same range that I think will also have surprise to the upside. So, you know, Kenyon.
Here's a little tease for your draft kit. I have moved Kenyon Drake above Nick Chubb in our rankings.
That's unbelievable. That is
so. There's
Super
a little
bold.
Tease.
I can't wait to see your rankings. We need to get this draft kit done. For our DFS Army members, subscribers, whoever wants it, who's listening here, this will be available probably right at the beginning of July. So we're
July 4th is our target date. That's when we're going to set the launch, hopefully.
Absolutely. And this will, you know, part of the reason we wait a little bit is because you want to get as much data as you can. And we still have to constantly adjust it. And the draft kit that we're putting together will be regularly adjusted for new data, new information. So, you know, as the real draft season for fantasy football players comes along, we'll continue to update that. But, all right, let's get into the tough part here. Because now we've gotten past, you know, I would throw, we've already gotten through Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield, that initial group. I'll throw Matt Ryan into that group as well, into that top, we're going to call it top 6
well,
for me.
Well, here, I have an idea. For this next 7 or 8 QBs, there's a couple QBs where I know your ranking is going to differentiate from the ADP. So what I'll do is, why don't I just name a couple of those guys and you tell me where you have them ranked? Instead of just reading a list, anybody could do that. Yeah. I want to name a couple guys. Okay, Drew Brees currently is QB8. Where do you have
him? I have him as number 12.
Okay, so again, this is what we were talking about. 4 spots lower in the top 12 makes a huge difference. Do me a favor. Who is your number 6, 7, all the way through 12?
All right. I mean, it's going to get pretty crazy. So be prepared. Yeah. I've got number 7 overall, Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay.
Throws a ton.
Even without Antonio Brown this year.
Don't think it makes a difference.
Okay. They did throw. They were a team that threw the most attempts last year. So you think that's you're seeing that as.
I see no reason why that will stop. He's going to continue to throw. He's going to deliver consistent points. Now, this is where I get even crazier.
Mm-hmm. Well, just so you know, Ben Roethlisberger right now is ADP is QB 14. So you don't even have to take him where you like him. But I like that's an aggressive call.
Yeah.
And I think a warranted one.
But, and by the way, it doesn't mean I want somebody to take them, you know, five rounds ahead of their ADP. No, don't do that. But
well, that's what the draft kit is. The draft kit is our rankings, not our projections.
Yeah, we're going to show that against the actual ADP data and explain how you really just knowing that this guy is available up till like the 15th round, you know, get him in the 14th, take him there, let some other guys go ahead of him. But I'm going to throw some names out right now that are way wackadoodle away from current ADP data.
So seven is Roethlisberger. Who's 8, 9, and 10?
I've got Kyler Murray, rookie quarterback from the Cardinals, ranked 8th overall.
Wow. Okay. I have a problem with that, but we'll talk about that after.
I'm just willing to roll the dice on this kid and his electric legs.
Okay. So in a $1,000 entry, you're taking him above Carson Wentz, above Cam Newton, above Russell Wilson. You're taking above those guys in a $1,000 entry league?
I don't like those guys. I don't like them.
Well, that's fair.
I don't like them. Carson Wentz has problems.
What do you see as the floor for someone like Kyler Murray? How many fantasy points a week is the floor? If things don't go – let's say if things go a little below average in the first 4 weeks of the season, how many fantasy points is he giving you each week?
I'm going to tell you my worst-case scenario. Listen, there is a floor. When we've never seen a guy, my worst-case scenario is Lamar Jackson 2018.
Yeah,
17 points a game, getting it done with his legs, doesn't even need to throw very much. But I think he's – I believe, and we'll have a discussion about this, I believe he is Lamar Jackson but can throw.
Oh, you know, he can throw the football. He can throw – and he zips it downfield. And what's really why Cliff Kingsbury fell in love with him is that Kyler Murray can throw the ball with the same accuracy and speed standing still as he can on the run. That was his – that's what's insane about it.
Give me your argument against this pick outside of we haven't seen this guy in the NFL.
Okay. The only argument is that I haven't seen him in the NFL and that the floor right now until we it is zero. And there's still quarterbacks that are proven to be every week locked in starters. So, again, I don't have a problem taking Kyler Murray in the top 12. I really don't. I think that – yeah, I just Carson Wentz above Carson Wentz would be tough for me to recommend to somebody. Above Russell Wilson would be a problem for me. But listen, I could easily be wrong. I'm just talking about if you're drafting in a high stakes draft today, that seems like more risk than what's needed given the position. Now, if you're doing that with a QB with a running back or a wide receiver, you know, I mean, even that just seems
let me throw a lot of. Let me throw the second scenario out for you. Consider this. Again, we're talking about in two QB leagues. You mentioned two players, and actually I want to get to those guys because they're really good examples. And I'll throw Drew Brees in that mix. That's the group that I have in this low area anyway, Drew Brees and Jameis Winston. I have them all below this group of two, right? And who are the two? Kyler Murray and Josh Allen. Now, again, let me make this argument. If I take Kyler Murray, who has number one overall quarterback upside. He has Patrick Mahomes level breakout season upside. That is his ceiling, right?
Sure.
We know his floor is, listen, we haven't seen this guy play in the NFL. I believe his floor is much more Lamar Jackson 2018, you know, gets you 16 points a game, but can't throw. Like, okay, worst case scenario. Or his team offense is just shit, you know, but he's still doing some stuff with his legs. He's a running back right off the bat, but what's wrong with me taking these guys in round 11 or 12 and then hanging around next round, picking up a Jimmy Garoppolo, Tom Brady, who I can get in round 14, 15. So I have a wonderful backup plan in place in case it goes wrong. But I want to take my shot on a guy who has number one overall in the 10th, 11th round, number one overall fantasy production upside. I'm looking at here.
You make a good point there that if you have a QB that you feel has elite tier upside, and I know we differ on some of the players that Josh Allen's already proved that he does. The last 5 weeks of the 2018 season, he was the number one overall QB. So he's already proven that he could be.
has a bad floor, too, by the way. You know, these guys have a floor week in, week out that's lower than some of these other guys.
Our discussion right now is only about upside because we're talking about recommending to your subscribers that if they get aggressive on a high ceiling, low floor QB, that's okay because there's a lot of high floor QBs like Garoppolo, like Phillip Rivers to take in the later round. So I think that is where taking someone like Kyler Murray as QB 8 makes sense because if you believe that he could be QB 2, QB 3, even QB 1, then there's such a soft crashing spot, meaning there's you could pick up a high floor QB later on that gamble pays off. So I certainly see what you're saying there.
Yeah, I mean for me it's just a wise risk, a wise risk in season long single quarterback leagues where, like I said, my worst case is I just grabbed one of these other guys who's around, off the waiver wire or with my last pick and. Fine. I've still got an excellent, sort of high floor, maybe a little more boring quarterback. If you can't get me rushing yards at this point, at this day and age, you're only going to get me so much.
Okay. Look at the top 33 QBs. Cause I say 33 cause we really don't know who's going to start in Miami, Fitzpatrick or Rosen. Name me the five QBs you would say are favorites to lose their job in the first six games. Name the QBs that you feel have almost no job security.
I'd say Eli Manning, Josh Rosen.
Okay, so slow down, one at a time. Eli Manning, we agree on. In fact, I don't think Eli is going to be starting week one.
It's very possible. I mean, he might, but I mean, there are other names here. There are absolute names here. Joe Flacco.
I'm on the Daniel Jones hype train. I'm certainly one of the key board members of the fan club. I mean, I think Daniel Jones is actually going to be good.
Just because you draft a guy in your dynasty league doesn't mean you have to be in the fan club.
I mean, not only did I draft him, I aggressively drafted him. And I think I just don't see why. Everyone's saying this narrative he went too early. If he went at pick 20 in the real draft, we'd be like, oh yeah, it's fine. We can't wait to see him. Just because he went at pick 6, people are saying he sucks. The guy is good. He's an athlete. He can run.
I expect nothing out of him this year. Not fantasy relevant.
I disagree. I think he's going to actually be fantasy viable. But that's we'll talk about it. So we agree Eli is either in danger of losing his job or is not going to start. Okay.
He's a terrible quarterback.
Flacco.
Yeah, Joe Flacco.
Under over on Flacco starts.
I think they're going to probably try to commit to him without injury. I think he probably, we're talking like a 10-game over-under. But Flacco is very prone to getting injured. So, I have no trust in him.
Now, Denver, Joe Flacco was traded to Denver. And Denver went and drafted Drew Lock in the second round. So Drew Lock, the rookie QB, doesn't have first-round draft capital. So they're not going to feel as much pressure to get him in. So that's why Joe Flacco, I think, has a little more job security than some of the other QBs like Eli or some of the other teams that drafted first-round quarterbacks. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and the Broncos are also going to try to replay the miracle of Peyton Manning, even in his last, completely washed-up year. We're just having sort of a serviceable veteran back there. Their excellent defense, a focus on the running game was enough to really do what they needed to do. On that team. So I think they're going to try to replicate that. I think it's a terrible thing to try to I think they're mistaken. I just don't like the moves that they've been making in Denver. I don't agree with them.
Case Keenum, Washington Redskins QB. The Redskins went out and drafted Dwayne Haskins, I think 15th overall. How many starts? I think Case Keenum will start. I don't think that Haskins is going to start right off the bat, but under over on starts.
Probably I'm going to say Case Keenum. If I would say under 5.
So you think it's going to take, okay, so if the Redskins, you're seeing them as 1-4, that's it, hook. What if the Redskins are 2-2? Do they go in with a Case Keenum for game 5, or do they go to the rookie?
I'm not absolutely convinced they'll start Case Keenum. I think the Redskins are just a bad team. So I don't see them as a competitive team this season. I don't understand why you would want to start a Case Keenum over your rookie. You might as well get him the time. But most teams, if they started 2-2, they might give him a few more games. They might wait till They might wait till like a bye week of some sort. So maybe week 8 or week 9 they make the switch. But I don't see Case Keenum. We know who he is. He's not good. So I don't see Case Keenum lasting a full year.
And now to bring this back to a fantasy discussion, there's two QBs here who I think have the most volatile situation as far as starters. And they're going to, especially in two QB leagues, they'll be draftable. But where do you stand on Marcus Mariota? This is a make or break year for him. The team brought in Ryan Tannehill as the backup QB. I know it's easy to say you hate Mariota, but do you still think Mariota has a chance, one, to keep his job, and two, to be fantasy viable as a super late QB, or is an upside play in the 2QB league?
I'm not happy if I've got Mariota on my 2QB league at all. I'm just not happy. I don't think he's very good. Everybody has a chance. We saw Jameis Winston climb out of the cellar last season on Tampa and actually put together what wound up being a really, really fantastic real life and fantasy QB season. Remains to be seen if we'll be able to keep that going. But he was basically Mariota of last year. He was somebody who...
We're optimistic. Seems to be a lot of optimism on Winston and a lot of pessimism on Mariota. And they're in the same situation. I mean, I think that it's crazy to me. Like, they're literally, they were drafted 1 and 2 in the same draft. They're both in make or break years. I think we're more optimistic on Winston because of Bruce Arians. But I don't see them in any, I mean, the weaponry, I guess, is really good in Tampa. But I feel like Marcus Mariota, back against the wall, they upgraded all the wide receivers. They brought in a very competent backup in Tannehill. I think that Marcus Mariota is going to show, is going to last the year. And I think there's a good chance that he even thrives. I think we could be talking about him as a quarterback that we did not see coming by the end of the year.
Said it's plausible. I don't see him climbing his way up to QB1 status anytime. So this is a guy who, I mean, 11 touchdowns last year. To throw for 11 touchdowns, it's borderline worst ever. You know, like, you've never seen numbers this bad for quarterbacks. Who is this bad?
In one QB leagues, he'll be on the waiver wire, so you won't have to even, like, worry about it. You know, the other QB I'm looking at as we get to the bottom of the ranks, and then we can get back to our exercise of just talking about our tiers, is – what do you make of Andy Dalton in that situation over there? Is Andy Dalton's job safe? Can you draft him in two QB leagues?
Yeah, I think you can draft him, but no, I don't think his job is super safe. Although I don't think they have in Cincinnati a real viable replacement.
They drafted a rookie.
In the first round? No.
No, in the later rounds. But someone that I hear what you're saying. It's just like it's the same situation in Carolina where they took Will Greer in the third round. So when you're talking about a third round or later QB, it's not someone that you're necessarily worried about taking over the job. But if someone like Andy Dalton, who's been just the definition of replacement level, doesn't do well and the Bengals are up to a poor start, you could see a rookie QB get a shot.
I think it's unlikely. I'm going to say it's unlikely with Dalton. There are a few other guys who I'd put in that category, Derek Carr, Matt Stafford. That I think are replacement level in the sense of their talent, currently, but where I don't really see their teams having a replacement in mind or going to, I don't see a third rounder.
Well, his name was Ryan Finley.
But it doesn't matter. If he's a third rounder, he to me is not, North Carolina State. He's not waiting in the wings to take a job. They didn't draft that guy to take Andy Dalton's job. They just drafted him to see what's up. You know how when teams take third, fourth, fifth round, they're like, hey, he's the best player available. There's never a great reason for it.
But also, remember, this is a new staff, new coaching staff. This coaching staff came from the Rams. They're going to be trying to implement the Rams playbook. They drafted a QB who they thought could do that.
I mean, you're saying now, that. You're saying Russell, that. They might have just drafted what they thought was the best QB available as a backup guy. It's not necessarily saying that that guy they drafted is really great for the Rams, you know, the Jared Goff role. I don't think that's necessarily why they drafted that guy. They might have drafted him because, hey, we need a backup and he was available and Dalton got hurt last year. And what if it happens again and we have nothing? You know, it could have been more of one of those situations. Plus, Andy Dalton has that glorious ginger hair. I mean, you don't mess with that.
Red Rifle. Yeah. Now I would just say that he is one Dalton. I have him X'd as one of the QBs that may not be starting by week 9 or 10. And everything on Ryan Finley looks like that he could be a competent player in the NFL, and I think we're going to get a chance to see it at some point.
See, so that's your level of, like, deep diving into some of these rosters, because I wouldn't even known, you know, that Ryan Finley was even any sort of viable anything, but you never know. But that's, again, a 2QB league. Let's get back up into the area of the draft where most of the people listening right here, because a lot of these guys, they're barely getting drafted in best ball leagues, you know, and they are, but I mean,
yeah, no,
really,
those guys are not getting drafted.
Some of these guys, absolutely. A lot of these guys are not. Now, Cam Newton,
do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, let's jump up to some of these names that I like maybe a little bit less. Cam Newton is one of the quarterbacks that really gives me a lot of concerns. And I've dropped him significantly in my personal rankings. And the sketchy part of that is, you know, we've seen Cam Newton have these great years in the past, and we've seen him have these terrible years. He's very up and down. If you look at his QB rating over his career, it's very up and down. If you look at last season and even just his game-to-game logs, very, very sketchy. Much less in the running game last season, particularly at the goal line, than what he had been doing in the past. So let me throw his numbers out from last year. And he did miss two games, but he was healthy for most of the season. 3,395 passing yards. 24 passing touchdowns. Fine. 4 rushing touchdowns. Okay. For an average quarterback, you know, a bench player, those numbers are okay. But, I mean, that didn't deliver impressive numbers for me last season, nor was it very consistent.
So those numbers you read out were within, they were 14 games, because he didn't play week 16 or 17, and then there was the bye week. So that was over, you know, you'd have to prorate that. Cam Newton did not have a good season last year. I mean, that's, you know, he didn't have a camp. I mean, he did have the weeks where he popped off. You know, if you look, he started off the season, you know, giving you multiple weeks with 30 plus fantasy points. I still think Cam Newton has a tremendous upside, and Cam Newton had, you know, he was going higher in drafts. This year you can get him in the double digit round. So I don't have a problem taking Cam Newton in 1QB leagues, especially at the current price. I mean, he's got all the upside of a top 5 QB without the price tag.
Well, let's talk about his ADP at the moment, because that really is, when I say I'm dropping him down, I didn't say I am not drafting Cam Newton under any circumstances, but I mean, Cam Newton right now is showing an ADP of, let's see. Okay. I mean, his ADP has dropped. So he's showing right now at 10 overall. The 10th quarterback off the board.
Yeah. I'm showing him at what I did was I pulled ADP for the last 2 weeks. Cause I think, the last week and a half.
Okay. Yeah. That is better.
So dynamic. Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing. It's QB 11. He's going about 106 overall. So, yeah, I mean, that's perfectly fine. I mean, they right now ADP has Jared Goff above him, Drew Brees above him. I would take Cam above both of those guys. I would even take Kyler Murray right around the same, you know, above both of those players. But I think Cam is appropriately he's a bargain. But as we know, is if you've owned Cam Newton in season-long leagues, there are weeks where he gets you like 8 fantasy points, and you lose your game because of that.
I also think I think one thing that these rankings and his stats from last season aren't accounting for, and this is one of the reasons why, I mean, there's a double-sided coin here, but one of the things that his stats from last season aren't accounting for is the Panthers really only started going to Christian McCaffrey at the goal line really towards the second part of the season. You know, for the first part, you still had Cam Newton doing his usual, you know, vulture thing at the goal line and getting those goal line touchdowns, which is what made Cam Newton kind of like a special, almost, you know, discussion in the top tier quarterback for quite a few seasons. Now with the emergence of McCaffrey, not just as a all-around workhorse running back, but also as a goal line back, and secondarily with Newton showing the shoulder issues where he had that injury kind of pop up. It wasn't any specific thing. It was just kind of seemingly chronic, or, you know, I'm really still not fully clear on what the hell happened with Newton last season.
Well, he had a shoulder issue, and when you have a shoulder issue, you're going to be less likely to run. And where a lot of Cam Newton's value comes from is the running. In leagues where you get 4 points for a passing touchdowns, his running touchdowns are extremely valuable. the running QBs are a little less valuable when you have 6 points for passing touchdowns, just because all touchdowns are created equal. But in leagues where it's 4 or 5 points for touchdown, Cam Newton is extremely valuable. And he wasn't running. They were protecting him. Christian McCaffrey was getting the goal line. In the past, the under-over for touchdowns for Cam Newton would be like 6.5, 7.5, something like that. I think now you have to project them for maybe 3.5 or less.
And again, I want to reiterate, I have health concerns with this player going forward.
And they drafted a QB in the early third round. So they share. I'm not saying he has any danger of losing his job. I'm just saying that they thought that there was enough of a risk here to draft a NFL-ready QB. Will Greer is one of the QBs that they considered that could kind of step in and be competent for a few games right off the bat.
Yeah, and again, we don't know what's going on with his shoulder. This is a quarterback we saw with Andrew Luck, for quite a few years. A small shoulder issue, unclear, not a whole lot of explanation of what the hell was going on. All we knew was this guy lost multiple seasons of his career dealing with shoulder problems. We've seen quarterbacks throughout the league, Chad Pennington, and, you know, all these other guys, they start to get shoulder issues and you're a quarterback. It's really bad. So, and.
All right. Well, are you taking Cam Newton or Jared Goff when push comes to shove?
I'm probably taking Newton just because I think he does have a little bit more upside. But, you know, Jared Goff, the arrow's pointing up with that running game kind of hurting a little bit. So, and not clearly, you know, something they're going to be able to lean on. So, you know, and let me look at Jared Goff's rushing numbers, because really that has to be.
He doesn't really run.
He can run if he wanted to, but he doesn't run a whole lot. Oh my goodness. Yeah, brutal. Yeah, 108 yards. So enough attempts. He had 43 rushing attempts, but he did nothing with them. So
those are just scrambles.
Yeah, these are not.
I don't think those are design runs or anything like that.
And another guy I'm going to say I'm lower on, just to keep with this group here, because I'm in this area, and this is what's so challenging, and I'd like to hear your takes on a lot of these. Like, another guy I'm just down on is Russell Wilson. I'm sorry, but
they were basically bottom of the league. I think they were bottom three. They may have been bottom two in pass attempts last year, under 450. And just to give you perspective, the Pittsburgh Steelers led the league with close to 700 attempts. I'd say most teams you can usually count on for about 500 to 600 attempts. And to be 50 attempts short of that, they're a running team. I mean, they have come out and said that they're going to run the ball, the Seattle Seahawks. And Russell Wilson is doing a lot less running himself. Now, he's a perfectly good QB, but I have him more as like QB 13, QB 11 than most of the ADP, which would have him going like 6th or 7th overall. So I think you and I feel the same way about Russell Wilson, where that the perceived upside from a few years ago just may not be there anymore. Now, that doesn't mean that he's not going to have these 40-point games, because we know that, but I just think that it's more realistic to expect tampered expectations. There's higher upside guys, which we'll get into after.
100%. I mean, yeah, and this is the thing. I'm comparing it to current ADP. At this moment, Russell Wilson is literally sitting at number 7 overall.
QB 7.
Hey, it's a high number for a guy who got 0 rushing touchdowns last season.
Okay, so you and I agree. Russell Wilson sitting at 7 in ADP, we don't like it. So when we open our draft kit July 4th weekend, who's going to be in our rankings? Who outside of the top, say, 14 QBs, some QB 15 to 25, who are you pushing up into that area? Because I know there's got to be a few guys that move up.
Well, again, I already mentioned how much I like Kyler Murray. He will be there for me up top. He's a guy who I'm going to have a lot of my teams. I got Ben Roethlisberger up there, Josh Allen. And I know you like – right after that, I have Carson Wentz creeping up in there. I'm a little nervous about Wentz as well with his injury issues and his lack of really running the football the way I would – or I'm going to say his lack of consistency last season. He's going to need to be better than he was last year.
He was hurt. He got hurt again. I mean, that's why Nick Foles took – he got hurt relatively early too. I mean, Carson Wentz is healthy now by all accounts. They just signed him to an extension. They let Nick Foles walk. They must feel – and Eagles are one of the smart organizations. So by all accounts, I think we have to draft and proceed as if Carson Wentz – is going to be that Carson Wentz that has the upside to be. I mean, before he got hurt two seasons ago, he was in that MVP conversation, and they have just loaded at receiver. I mean, they brought in back DeSean Jackson. Alshon Jeffery, when healthy, is a touchdown machine. And then J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, they brought in his rookie, looks like a promising red zone threat. Zach Ertz set a record for catches last year. And it looks like Dallas Goedert is ready to take a year two leap. People are really hyping up Dallas Goedert all over Twitter. So I just can't think of a better setup for a QB that has MVP upside than Carson Wentz.
It's funny. I'm not in love with his wide receiver core, but I like the pass catching weapons all around when you add Ertz and Goedert in there.
And then Nelson Aguilar, who people have basically cast off too, is a competent receiver. I'm just saying they're loaded. He's going to have a ton of options. And I'm not saying that you're going to be able to say, okay, draft Alshon Jeffery is going to be this stud. I'm just saying he's one of this massive group. I think this is one of the best looking pass catching cores in the entire NFL. Paired with it, what we've already seen from Carson Wentz. It's not projection. With Kyler Murray, we love the upside, but it's projection. We've seen Carson Wentz do it already.
Carson Wentz, for me, when he's operating at his best, when he's doing Carson Wentz things, he's like a 24-point machine. He hits that number, like that 24 fantasy points. You know, rush or throw for three touchdowns. Or hit the 300-yard mark.
303, baby. 303.
You know, 13 games in 2017. Actually, I mean, even in his 11 games last year, and they were injury-riddled in some ways. But 11 games last year, and remember, he came out, you know, 21 touchdowns. It's not bad. You know, he's averaging 2 touchdowns a game. But the season before that, he was averaging closer to 3 touchdowns a game. And that gets you, and very consistent, that gets you between 18 to 24 points every single week. Totally fine. Totally fine. There are injury concerns with him, but I don't mind him. He's in my top 12. I have him one ahead of Russell Wilson. I have him currently sitting at number 10 in my rankings, one ahead of Russell Wilson at 11, then Breeze, and then Winston and Goff. So, you know, I'm there with you. Now, one guy I think that you and I differ on a lot, and I want to bring that guy up because I know you have a top 10 quarterback that I don't. But you know, I can be convinced. I can be convinced. And, you know,
maybe, well, there's two that I think there's two that I like that I know you don't.
Right, I'll throw the first name out there, and I want you to give your argument, and then I'll give my counter argument. Mm-hmm. And we both have talked about this off air, and we both have very strong feelings about this guy. But Lamar Jackson from the Baltimore Ravens, basically back. Well, let's break him. A running back that at the quarterback position is what he's been thus far. Tell me why you love him as a top 10 pick.
Okay, let's just start. We're just talking about from a fantasy perspective. Okay, that's what we do. We love fantasy football, so we're talking about from a fantasy perspective. I don't think
we don't give a shit about who wins games. Yeah, I don't give a shit.
Right. And we also agree that Lamar Jackson was not an accurate passer. His passing looked below starting quarterback level in the NFL. But that said, he's one of these extremely young quarterbacks who, when you look back at college, got better every year he was in college. Okay. He was forced into a starting role in the middle of a season last year with no offseason chance, with almost no weapons. Experts that I follow say that Lamar Jackson is a better running quarterback than Michael Vick was. Now that's just talking about his running ability. Okay. Now, and what the Baltimore Ravens did in the draft was they added Hollywood Brown, Justice Hill at running back, and Miles Boykin from Notre Dame in the draft. These are all players that are speed players that can catch shorter passes and take them to the house. I think that what the team did was set up Lamar Jackson for his second year progression of success. Now, again, I still think he's going to have his trouble spots, but I think the floor is high and the ceiling's even higher. When you add in that Lamar Jackson is someone that we would not be shocked if he gave you 85 yards rushing a game and say a half a touchdown a game on the ground. Now, if he can get some of those short passes complete through his new set of weapons, we're in business here. Now, I agree with you. The floor is low. This could go completely wrong. he's exposing himself to injury. But I think the upside for Lamar Jackson, based on what I said, based on the new set of offensive players they gave him, based on what we've seen him grow year to year when we look back from his college all the way into the pros, I think we can reasonably project Lamar Jackson to get better this year as a passer, be more comfortable with a full offseason, be more confident. And I think that there is top three, top two overall QB potential for Lamar Jackson. And you get him outside of the top 15 QBs. So the price is more than reasonable for someone that can be RG3 plus for fantasy.
I mean, all right, I'm just going to bring up his numbers last season. And obviously, I feel that way about Murray and even Josh Allen. So I can't really argue with what you're saying, other than I just think from what I saw out of Lamar Jackson, he's really, really, really bad in terms of his throwing game. I think he's worse than Kyler Murray, and I think he's worse than Josh Allen when it comes to raw quarterback skills. But he's probably superior at least to Josh Allen with his running skills. Right.
So well, I mean, experts that really watch the college tape from the beginning that I defer to on this one specific issue have said that he is a better runner than Michael Vick.
I mean, there you have it. I'm going to give you the numbers from last year. So he took over in week 11. They let him play a little bit before that, but he really took over in week 11 for Joe Flacco after the bye week for the Ravens. And
a rookie QB taking over mid-year, already a tough
game. Absolutely, very tough. And they had to change the whole offense to suit. He's a very different quarterback. Now they can really design an offense around him. They had to do that on the fly last year. Okay, I accept all of that. And I think that redesign of the offense really is one of those areas where that's like a wild card in this. And that might be more conducive to what you're saying, where if they can design some really short throws and some things that aren't difficult, one read type situations, you know, the way that the Bills kind of did for Josh Allen, maybe we can have a little bit something different going on here, and maybe we do see what you're saying. But I'm just going to throw these numbers out there because when we're talking about floor, this is why I like your pick, so I'm not making an argument against it. This is a pro argument right now. Okay. In these games, he put up 117 yards week 11 rushing, 71, 75, 71, 95, 39, one bad rushing game, and 90. So, and 90 yards.
And think about what you just said. You said 40 yards was a bad rushing
game. For him, yes.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's like a bad game. That's not the floor. Like, that's his absolute rock bottom. And in that game in week 16 against the Chargers, he still gave you 20 fantasy points because he had that floor. That's what I'm saying. For fantasy,
the beautiful thing. That was your one. Let me give it to you. Let me hand it to you in a positive way. The beautiful thing. Let me get to it because I'm going positive for you here.
Yeah.
The beautiful thing about this player is that in that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games, 7 game stretch. In that stretch, he really never delivered below 16 or 17 fantasy points. There were games where he didn't rush for a touchdown, but he threw for a touchdown or two. Not many yards, but he at least threw for the touchdown. There were games where he didn't throw for anything, but he rushed for a touchdown or two. There was a game against Atlanta. Not a great game. Not a great game for Lamar Jackson. It was his third game playing. But he still got you 75 yards. He got you a rushing touchdown.
On the road in Atlanta.
Yeah,
that was like his third start on the road. Still came through for you.
He threw for 125 yards. So he got you, he got you another, let's say, 5 fantasy points there.
Throwing to Michael Crabtree.
Yeah, but 5.
Who's not even in the league anymore.
That's right. And definitely not the kind of guy that he needs to be throwing to. So even in a bad game like that, he still squeaked out about 16 fantasy points, which, by the way, you can get your Drew Breeses, your Cam Newtons, your Tom Brady's, your Kirk Cousins. They're not always going to squeeze out even that 16, 18-point game. That is no lock for those guys.
If you won Drew Brees last year, you were pissed off because there was a lot of 12-point games in there because there's no rushing floor whatsoever. And here's what even makes Lamar Jackson more appetizing. Is that you don't have to pay anything. You have to pay like a 13th round pick, a 12th round pick. I am going to grab him in the 9th and 10th round in every single one of my drafts. Everyone's going to call out reach and shame. But I'm by the 14th round, I'm going to grab a very safe QB. You named Garoppolo. I think that's a perfectly safe cushion to fall on. And if things work out with Lamar Jackson, I'm winning my leagues.
I actually think you could wait. By the way, I think you can wait longer. And I think Josh Allen will be there too in the 12th, the 13th, the 14th round, as will Lamar Jackson. So these are names. It's really weird putting together. I got to tell you, it's making me uncomfortable. I find it weird to be so different from ADP at the moment. Like, it's awkward.
Well, see, ADP poisons your mind. And again, it's out there, and that's because that's just what the market thinks. ADP is basically a collection of what everybody thinks. That's why I like to do my ranks before I look at ADP. But once we get it's impossible to ignore it, because you could say, okay, I'm going to put it out of my head. I'm going to ignore it. The market thinks this. I think that. Now, you know, just from playing around with stock market, I mean, you buy when you differ from the market. When you think something should be more expensive and it's cheaper, you buy. This applies directly to fantasy football. But what happens is we start saying, okay, this guy's a third round guy. This guy's an eighth round guy. And we start placing those players according to ADP, and it spoils what we originally thought in the first place. That's why I'm glad you and I did a podcast on January 1st after last season was over. You can go back and listen to it. And we start hashing out our thoughts, and we say, I want to get on record right now where our rankings are. And we talked about Lamar Jackson because once ADP creeps in, it poisons us.
It really does. In daily fantasy, it's the same thing as when you see a player with a very cheap salary. And you really like that player, but he's 3K. And you're like, huh, I'm kind of scared of this guy now because why is he only 3K? He must be shit. Like, it's just this bias that you get. So if you don't know what the salary was, you might think he's in a good spot. But then he's the cheapest player. Like, I'll be doing MMA stuff tonight for tomorrow's card. And one of the things I always say on our MMA podcast that we do is people are just reluctant to roster the cheapest fighters because the presumption is that they're cheap for a reason and they're very unlikely to do well. So I don't want the cheap guys. I want the more expensive guy. You know, where you really need to think about, and it's the same thing with ADP. What we're doing is handicapping against it. Like, what I'm looking at right now is the market says this guy's worth this, but I actually think my handicap says he's worth a lot more. So, or sometimes it's the reverse. It's the same thing with daily fantasy on the salary level. Here, the market is saying this is the salary for this player, but I actually think he's worth less than that. So I will not roster him because I'm overpaying. Smart. I want to find the player that is undervalued relative to the market. And then is it a lock that person will do the best? No. But I think over time, if you draft that way for your fantasy draft, if you play daily fantasy sports that way, all sports, doesn't matter which, where you're dealing with the salary cap like a handicap, then over time, that will lead to good things happening. And so, yeah.
Hey, can I, that,
go ahead.
That's smart. I like how you put that. But can I just interrupt you for a second and bore your audience with something that's happened in my dynasty league? I need to get your opinion on this. In my 14 team dynasty league PPR, where you start three receivers and a flex, Alvin Kamara was just traded. And you tell me which side of this you'd rather have. Kamara was the one side. The other side of it was N'Keal Harry, David Montgomery, and a 2020 first rounder. Which side of that do you like?
I mean,
Alvin Kamara went for N'Keal Harry, David Montgomery, and a 2020 first rounder. Next year is ridiculously sick.
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind the guy who gave up Kamara for that package. I don't mind it.
I would rather have N'Keal Harry, David Montgomery in the first, right?
I'm not going to say, listen, it's hard to give up your super stud top five running back.
So you think this is a fair trade then? Right? Either side, you could
say. Yeah, I don't look at that trade and say, oh my God, you got one over on someone. I think that's a super fair trade, and if one of those teams was rebuilding, you know, I like David Martin.
No, these are both like top six teams.
But I'm still okay with it. I'm okay with it because one team just got super young. Yes, Kamara is a long term stud, but I mean, I think Montgomery looks pretty good. I think N'Keal Harry's a great prospect, and I like the idea of a first rounder next year. So, in essence, what that trade is a stud player for three first rounders. That's exactly what that trade just was. That's fair.
That literally just happened right now, live while we were talking.
You need to ask my fantasy, to be outraged or not?
Yeah, I was outraged because I always hate when anyone else trades, and I always, you know, because you never want anyone else to become good. So
I also, you know, I like to just shit on everybody that makes a trade and just make them feel bad, even though sometimes those trades look pretty good.
Yeah. All right. So maybe when we started off, when we were talking off air about Lamar Jackson, you were sour. Now you're warming up a little bit to my argument. You're buying into my argument. At least you see there's viability.
You know where you convinced me. I started to convince myself a little bit as we were talking it through. That last season, they didn't design an offense for Lamar Jackson.
They had no intention of starting him last year. They were like, we need to do something, and they just did it.
And Flacco's super different. So, like, when you think about that, you mentioned, yeah, he's thrown to Michael Crabtree, who's basically like a statuesque guy.
He's out of the league.
He's not even in the league.
He's out of the league.
Yeah, he's statuesque, out of the league. They had some players that were really not suited.
Oh.
And now you're talking about, you're right, Hollywood Brown, who's basically a scat back type of wide receiver, speed and yak.
He's after the catch, but yes, yak. If you go to watch Hollywood Brown's college tape, the reason he was the first wide receiver taken in this year's draft was because he can catch and just he makes the defensive players like twist and turn because they don't know which direction he's going. And by all accounts, he's starting to get healthy. Like he's been doing all of the route running, and I didn't think he was going to be healthy for the first five or six games. I think he's going to be ready for training camp. So,
and I also look at what the Bills did. They built an offense around their quarterback's limitation, and I think that you could do that with this Ravens team if they're able to adapt their offense to sort of almost a schoolyard situation in terms of the way that they. If you try to turn Lamar Jackson into a timing five-step drop guy, it's not going to work. And I will disagree with anybody. You cannot teach that. At the NFL level, it's too late. He never learned it. He's not going to be good at it. He's not going to three-step drop, turn, you know, look off of a guy. He's not going to be a traditional quarterback, period. If you think he is, you're wrong. He can't learn it. He will not learn it. So what they have to do is change the offense around to suit what he's able to do, which he probably doesn't have a bad throwing arm. He's just not time.
Who, Josh Allen?
No, I'm going back to Lamar Jackson.
Oh, Lamar Jackson.
We know Josh Allen can throw the fucking ball.
Lamar Jackson just has an accuracy issue. And again, I think
that can't be corrected. If you think they're going to correct it, you're nuts. They're not correcting that.
No, I can't. I'm not saying he's going to all of a sudden be throwing darts on 25-yard outs. I'm saying that they're going to start crossing receivers all over the field, having him do little dump-off passes to Justice Hill. I'm saying they're going to design an offense that suits his needs. And you know what? If you or I are out there, we could throw a 6-yard pass to Justice Hill. I'm confident I could throw some form of a spiral 6 or 7 yards to Justice Hill. And certainly Lamar Jackson can do it.
I'm pretty confident that if I saw an NFL lineman running towards me,
Von Miller,
there's literally no chance that I can complete a 6-yard out to Justice Hill because I'd be crying. And just
not even a little swing.
I'd be balled up in the fetal position. I'd be holed up in Debo's chicken coop, like, get off me, get off me, get off me. That would be it.
That's great.
Hey,
another QB that's getting no respect in fantasy, and I just don't get it. Now, again, I know his critics don't think he's a great real life QB, but there was a 5-week stretch where Mitch looked really good.
Yeah, he did. He had a couple. You know,
I put out a Trubisky call
in week 4 when they were playing the Bucs last year, and he put up 5 touchdowns.
Mitch Trubisky from he put up a 59-point week.
It was week 4. It was against the Bucs. I remember it well. I went on a radio
that
show. I recommended him, and the host of the show the next week when I came on was like, dude, you're fucking Mitch Trubisky pick, man. No one was looking at that guy. I was like, oh, he's playing the Bucs. You know, I'm just taking everybody against the Bucs.
So, and not even you with your sort of future crystal ball looking pick would have thought 60 fantasy points. So from week 4 to, I mean, he even put up another one that was like 45 points. He had a 40-pointer, a 36-point. I mean, the upside is there for fantasy. And again, he's like QB 18.
I'm not excited about Trubisky, and I made that call. I'm going to say no. He just...
I mean, you've seen the upside. If you took these numbers and put them on Kyler Murray, you would say that, hey, oh my God, I got Kyler Murray right. Take out the players. Look at the numbers.
No, these are no rushing. Elite. He's not rushing enough.
Oh, he... Mitch Trubisky...
Actually, right? he did run around. He did a little bit of that. He didn't do enough. But actually, you're right. Last season, if it wasn't for those few games, he didn't do it every week. And that was the issue. He threw for... You know what? Look at his overall numbers. They're really not that terrible.
They're not terrible. And this is... It's year two in this system. Matt Nagy came in as a rookie head coach. He was getting acclimated. Allen Robinson is a full year and change removed from the injury. They have really good receivers there. They added David Montgomery in the draft. Tariq Cohen is, I would say, probably the best pass-catching running back in the NFL at this point. Can you name anyone better than him? Maybe James White is better than him at
it. I'm going to say Saquon Barkley and Christian.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot those guys.
Yeah. Okay, so...
And Le'Veon Bell.
Cohen is a top six.
And Alvin Kamara.
You know what? I'm not... Okay, but look, those are first round guys. Okay, but you agree that Tariq Cohen is an elite pass catcher.
Yeah, he's excellent.
When you're talking about
what he's doing for his role, he's excellent as well. Sure.
Right. So that only helps Mitch Trubisky. I think that if you talk about quarterbacks that in a one QB league that you could take, I mean, Mitch Trubisky right now is the 18th quarterback off the board going in like the 14th round. You could just scoop up depth at all the other positions. This is a situation that allows you to go tight end early because when everyone else is taking those, the fifth round, the Sean Watsons and the eighth round, Kyler Murray's, and you can get the same amount of upside in a guy that nobody wants.
In the last round of the draft, by the way, Trubisky, you could just pick him up week one off waivers because he's going to be sitting on waivers in your league. You don't need to draft this guy. He will be available.
See, here's the problem, and you and I play a similar style of fantasy football that where in one QB leagues, we take only one quarterback and we leave everyone else on the waiver wire. That Yahoo, in most of their, it did a study where the average amount of QBs on their rosters was 1.6, which means that most people in home leagues are taking two QBs. You and I don't play that style of fantasy football. We only take one QB. But in most home leagues you're going to be involved with, people are going to selfishly take two QBs and leave real dirt on the waiver wire. So Trubisky likely will get drafted as a backup QB in 12-team leagues. But I say that you could take him as your starter and certainly in the 13th, 14th round.
I mean, I don't hate it. I don't love it. I don't think he's going to deliver consistent starter numbers. But, you know, he would have to take a leap forward from what he did last year for me to be happy with that guy.
But he has weak winning numbers.
He does have that, but I need consistent numbers for my quarterback. This is why I like these guys with the legs. I want the 17 point floor.
He runs. He does run. I mean, I think in year one, he was okay. He showed enough. In year two, with the first year of Matt Nagy's offense, he showed a major leap as far as fantasy production. Now, again, I know his detractors don't like him as a real NFL QB, but he's got complete job security. He's got the confidence of the organization. I think that he'll run in two touchdowns this year, three touchdowns. Like you said, there's definitely a lack of consistency last year, but maybe that'll flatten out a little bit this year. Trubisky is a great parachute option if you just get total. See, that's the thing about QB. There's no point in the draft where I don't like my options. You know, when you talk about running back, I don't like my options starting in round 4 or 5. With receiver, I don't like my options starting in round like 7 or 8. There's no point in the draft where I dislike the options for QB. I like him in the first 5 rounds. I like him in the next 5. And I certainly like him at the end of the draft. Even if I get stuck, and I put stuck in air quotes, with Sam Darnold, Derek Carr, I'm okay because I know Derek Carr is going to be thrown to Antonio Brown. There's no point in the draft where I'm upset about taking QB.
I mean, I'm upset if Derek Carr, if I've got to go through an entire season of fantasy football with Derek Carr at the helm.
If you get stuck with Derek Carr, you're not going through a whole season of him. You're playing you're officially streaming QBs. You're going Josh Rosen when he has a great matchup. you're switching over to Daniel Jones because he's got the better matchup. Okay,
I mean,
now,
you know, by the way, these all feel like two QB league problems to me. I don't see any reason why not going to wind up with a top 15 quarterback in your rankings.
Because in most of home leagues, people are rostering two QBs. That's the problem. Yeah. That's why you're going to have to do it.
But do you need to really fill up your entire bench? Like, if I'm drafting against my buddies, I'm not filling up my entire bench with, like, prospects and handcuffs and then being like, oh, shit, I forgot to take a quarterback. Who's left? Mitch Trubisky. Like, maybe if I want a second one, but, like, I'm not doing that. There's a point where you're looking at the player pool available, and, yeah, I want to take Dante Moncrief and stash him on my bench. He's on almost every team I've drafted so far this year. But I could get him in the 15th round, not the 14th. I can get him in the I don't have to take him in the 13th round. I can get him in the 14th. So, like, when I look at situations like that, I don't really see that need to wait that long. I think if you have a guy you like, once you hit the 9th or 10th round, if you've done enough mocks, you know, by the 9th round, you're dealing with players that have names. You know, it's like, what fucking shitty ass tight end am I taking in this round? And it's not even a good one. It's like,
right,
you know,
it's Trey Burton, it's Kyle Rudolph, it's Delanie Walker, it's Austin Hooper. Those are your tight ends.
Yeah, you're in that shit storm of bad tight end. You're looking at wide receivers and you're like, oh, you know, John Brown from the Bills, he looks all right.
We'll save it for the tight end podcast.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, you're looking at that whole turd fest. And that's just round 10. I mean, it just gets worse. So at that point, I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I don't care where I have my quarterbacks ranked. I'm going to look at my personal rankings. And see, that's for me where Kyler Murray wounds up on my team. Because he's still around. Or Josh Allen. Both. Or Lamar Jackson, if you like.
All valid points in one QB 12-team league. So why don't we wrap it up by saying, you talked about Kyler Murray. Talk to me about two or three QBs that absolutely will not be on your team that are going in the top 20 QBs picked.
I will tell you that, this is a tough question overall, but like Derek Carr will not be on my team. Matt Stafford will not be on my team.
Those guys are outside of the top 20
those
guys are like 23. 20, okay. How about this? I'll kind of direct you where I was hoping you would go. Is Tom Brady going to be on any of your teams?
He could make my bench if he's still floating around. Yeah, I could see that. He could make my bench if he's still. I've got Tom Brady in a couple of best balls, not because I was targeting him, but because, you know, in that section where it was like Sam Darnold and Stafford and Dalton and that group and Mariota, you know, Tom Brady and Cousins, Tom Brady was still hanging around. So I'm like, all right, I'll put this guy on.
Brady will go higher than he should because of the name value.
But if he was still floating around 18, QB 17, 18, that level, I'm taking Tom Brady. Yeah, I don't care.
Right now he's QB 19. He's going actually after Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with Tom Brady as my quarterback. Tom Brady's still Tom Brady. He's still good. You know, he'll have games where he throws for four touchdowns, maybe three or four touchdowns. He's not going to do the things he's done in the past because he doesn't have – an incredible set of weapons, but
no Gronk.
I think he's being
no
underrated.
Gronk concerns me.
Yeah,
no Gronk.
No, if I had, I'm not worried about that. He has James
You're
White's going to take
no...
over the Gronk role.
The Gronk role?
Yeah, James White. When Gronk was out last season, James White came in and beasted. So
James White has the James White role.
But when they that's what happens when Gronk is out and they don't have a tight end, they just put James White in the slot. Or they have him playing, and you know he's getting his 10 targets a game. So like when Gronk was in there, he wasn't getting 10.
All right. So and I'll tease this for our next podcast too. I have a sneaky feeling, and again, I think this is I don't even know how sneaky it is now. I think people are on it, but the tight end the Patriots acquired, Matt Lacoste, could he be an interesting tight end life preserver sort of guy that you haven't thought of? At the end of drafts, if you really get stuck at tight end, because as you just talked about, those middle 10th round tight ends are such garbage that if you end up there, you might as well just wait to the end. And Matt Lacoste, how the Patriots use tight ends, could be an interesting name, and we'll talk about him when we do the tight end podcast.
Can I tease a guy that I've been taking at the end of best ball leagues in the last round?
Please do. Tight end. Last round of basketball draft right now.
I just keep taking Jason Witten.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, what do you expect out of Witten?
I'm thinking six touchdowns, maybe seven.
Right.
That's all. I mean, whatever he does beyond that, again, it's
I don't, a best, hate it.
I don't think he's going to deliver consistent, 100-yard games. I'm just saying, he's going to be in the end zone. He's yeah. Jason Witten, and he does deliver a good game once every three or four games that are historically. So fine by me. He's my third tight end on my best ball league. And hopefully the spike weeks will coincide with the other two turds that I've probably drafted, having their bad game. And, hopefully three, a Witten and two others, level it out. So that's my teaser if you're doing best ball leagues. And Lacoste you can get with that last pick, too. So I'm totally down with that as well. Don't know if he's going to do anything. He could be a zero, but we don't know. All right, awesome.
Totally.
Alan, season long says, thanks for coming on this pod again. Guys, if you're listening.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I love this discussion because this position, this quarterback position, it's so wide open that I think it's more about the strategy of how you're going to approach it. Oops. It's going to be my phone. It's more about the strategy of how you're going to approach it than it is so much about worrying too much about some of these ranking numbers. Because, again, your numbers, my numbers are so dramatically different from current ADP. That it's just going to tell you consensus is bullshit at quarterback. Wait a little bit. If you can't get these first four guys, wait a little bit. Wait a lot. Get a couple spots on your bench filled. One, two, three players on your six-person bench. One, two players on your five-person bench. And then you're like, oh, fuck, I need a quarterback. I haven't done it. Look at this crew. There's still some good names available. You'll be fine. And your bench and your starters will be one round stronger than most of your opponents.
Hey, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I just sent an email to a friend of mine who may or may not been a proxy that could take wagers. And I told him, put $10 on Deshaun Watson for me at 20-1.
To be
NFL MVP regular season. Oh. Plus 2000. I put $10 on it just now.
That's money where your mouth is. I like it. Yep. We'll leave it at that. Season long says, man, good stuff this time. If you're listening, you made it through. Be on the lookout for the DFS Army Draft Kit. Our full rankings, breakdowns, notes. You'll see my stuff right next to Cez's stuff, right? You could compare. Hey, maybe you like what he has to say. You get to read my notes. You like what I have to say. Then you make your own decisions. What you like.
Or you could. Or just take the geeks and just throw it right in the garbage. That's it.
That works too. There's a reason you're here. I'm asking questions. You're giving answers. I don't know anybody who's diving deeper into the stuff than you do.
You've changed my mind a little bit on Kyler Murray. I'm while you're doing your outro here, I'm taking my red pen. I've moved him up a couple
spots.
Yeah,
baby. Massively moved up Lamar Jackson. See, that's what I like about this stuff. I'm like learning something. I didn't think about that angle of changing the offense. And wow, what difference that could make to, because we talked about it, like Lamar Jackson, he's at 16, 17 points a game. All we need is one other thing.
The bad news is we're in about six leagues together, and now we're going to be fighting for Kyler Murray, for Lamar Jackson, all these guys. So
I was just hoping you would take Lamar and leave Kyler for me, and we could just kind of be gentlemen about it. That seems just fair.
There was no collusion.
No obstruction. All right.
It was proven there was no collusion.
Or obstruction. No collusion, no obstruction. There we go.
All right, brother.
Let's call it. We'll be back next time to break down the tight end position.
My favorite position. Love them tight ends.
You do. All right. Let's do it.
Bye. Later.
All right. Thanks, guys.